Nice to see everyone this morning. Winter is a little early, but you know what? Every day is the day of the Lord, isn't it? The Lord gives us every day. And he has a reason and a purpose for even giving us a little snow early. Maybe we can appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the Epistle of John, chapter 1. The Epistle of John, chapter 1. And this morning, we pray that we're going to share the gospel with those who are not saved, and also for those who are saved, we have something for us also. We're going to look in this little epistle, and we're going to look at four different scriptures where we're going to see three little words, and I want you to make note of them: as he is. Just remember those little words, as he is, in the Epistle of John. And the first one is to be found in the first chapter. And we're going to start reading in at verse 5 of the Epistle of John, chapter 1, and verse 5. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we see those little words, as he is, in verse 7. Turn now to 1 John 4 and verse 17. First John 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love. First John 4 and verse 17. I got that. Okay. First John 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness or freedom or liberty in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Turn now to 1 John chapter 3. Turn back. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. In fact, we're going to read in at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's those little words again, as he is. And just down the next verse, we're going to see that again in chapter 3, verse 3. And every man or woman that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Four different places we see those little words, as he is. If you want to put headings on that, we see in chapter 1, the first one, we see our partnership or our fellowship. In the chapter 4 and verse 17, we see our pilgrimage. We are living in a world that is full of wickedness and sin, but we are saved, those of us who are saved. And in chapter 3 and verse 2, we see our prospect. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If you're saved this morning, that is your prospect. You will see him as he is. And in verse 3 of that same chapter, we see our practice. We should be pure, we should be holy as he is holy. So we go back up to chapter 1, and we look at the first one there. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read those verses again, verse 5 to 7. This then is a message. Of course, John is the same. He's the disciple John, and in this he's the apostle John, who wrote, the Gospel of John. He's called the apostle, disciple and apostle of love. And we see so many times we see love. But in this little book, we see the theme is basically fellowship. And the word fellowship means partnership, or it means to have in common with. And in this first chapter, we see that fellowship If you're saved this morning, you have fellowship one with another, that is with other Christians. But look at verse 3, it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. You have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. You have, what do we have in common with? We have salvation, we have Christ, we are in Christ. That's what we have in common with God and His Son. And so if you're saved this morning, you have fellowship, you have been brought into fellowship, into the family of God through salvation or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John is writing here, and the first part of it here speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this verses here, we see the family relationship. How do we get into it? And he speaks about that in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, that is of the Lord Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship, oh, an interesting verse. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, I am a Christian, but look at this verse. If we say we have fellowship or we have in common with the Lord, we are in partnership with Him, we have fellowship with Him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's quite interesting, isn't it? There is quite a difference between darkness and light. And you know what? They cannot coexist. Light and darkness cannot coexist. And it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Look at verse 7. But if we walk, now we just finished verse 6. It said, if you say we have fellowship and we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God cannot look with favor on any form of sin. That's why he sent his Son to the cross of Calvary. Nothing is hidden from him. We need to understand that. And there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Listen to what it says. You can mark it in your Bible. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We can't hide anything from the Lord. And yet sometimes as human beings, we think that we go into a room, there's a little boy years ago, and he had done something wrong. Maybe he was already told, somebody said that from here. He went out into the garage, and he was doing something that he was told not to do. And he came back, and his mother said, you know what? God saw that. Somebody saw you doing what you're doing. He said, oh, no, I was out in the garage. Nobody could see me. This verse says, "There doesn't matter where we go, what we do, what we say, God, everything is open to him, and he sees everything. We can't hide it from the Lord. I want to show the difference between darkness and light. And I want to show five little verses in the Word of God that speaks about darkness. Now, that is the opposite of light. Turn with you, Will, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. And first of all, we're going to see that darkness is a person. And for 31 years, I was darkness. Look what it says in Ephesians 5:8. Paul is the writer, the speaker, and he says this, for you were sometimes darkness. He's speaking to Christians in Ephesus, but he says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we see there the darkness is a person. And if you look, it doesn't say he was in darkness. It says he is darkness. That is from the tip of my toes to the top of my head, I was darkness. Did you ever see a house or something and everything else around it was lit up, but this one house was in total darkness? The house was there, but it was in darkness. And that's what you are like if you're not saved this morning. In God's sight, you are darkness. There's not a life in you. There's not a light in you, that spiritual light that you get when the Lord saves you from your sins. So we see, first of all, darkness is a person. Remember that little statement? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, how do we get there? Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. So first of all, darkness is a person, like you and I. I was there for 31 years. If you're not saved this morning, you are darkness in God's sight. Turn now to John chapter 3 and verse 19 to verse 21. Darkness is a person. This one, darkness is a preference. And if you're not saved this morning, darkness is your preference. Look what it says in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation. This is why people are condemned. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness. Why? Because their deeds or works are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or made may be carried out in God. So we see here darkness is a preference, the preference of those who are not saved. And I can well say that that's where I was for 31 years. My preference was darkness. And what does people do with darkness? They think darkness is a cover, right? A lot of crimes are committed in darkness today. A lot of things are going on in this world in darkness. Why? Because men love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So first of all, darkness is a person, someone who is not saved. Darkness is a preference, someone who is not saved. Look at verse Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19. Darkness is a pathway. If you're not saved this morning, you are a pathway that leads to darkness. Listen to what it says. Proverbs 4 and verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And you look at the world today, and my friends, you see people going every which way, and they're clawing and grasping for something to satisfy them. So we see darkness is a person, it's preference. Darkness is a pathway. Turn now to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul again speaking. He's speaking to Christians. But listen to what he says. Colossians 1, verse 13. Speaking about God the Father in his kindness, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us or transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We see there darkness is a power. And we think of Ephesians where it says the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? Satan. And we're talking about a power. We're talking about influence. We're talking about an engine that drives something. And so for 31 years, I was under the power of darkness. And if you're not saved this morning, you are under that influence. And lastly, darkness is a place. And my place, and that place is not a very nice place. It's called hell and outer darkness. Look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13. This is a little story about a man who had a wedding for his son and so on. And he invited guests and they made excuses. They wouldn't come. But then when the master showed up, he saw that was in their midst, there was someone there without a wedding garment on. That was one of the stipulations. You must have a wedding garment on. Somehow or other, this guy, as it were, snuck in. Listen to what the master said. Then said the king to the servant, and the verse before that says the man was speechless when he was confronted. Nothing to say. Look in Revelation chapter 19 about those who stand at the right white, the great white throne of judgment. Not a word is said. Do you know why? Because they know why they're being judged. Why? Because they rejected God's Savior, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what it says. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So darkness is a person who was not saved. Darkness is a preference, those who are not saved. Darkness is a pathway that those people are on who are not saved. Darkness is a power and influence that they're under if you're not saved. And darkness, if you die in your sins, if you're not saved before you leave this earth, you're going to go to a place that is utterly darkness. That's not a very pretty picture. But let's go back to our chapter. Chapter 1 of the first epistle of John. And it says this. This then, in verse 5, this then is the message, John is speaking, which we have heard of the Lord from the Lord Jesus Christ as they spent time with him, and declare it unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None of those things are in God. He's absolutely opposite to that. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, in these things that we have mentioned, my friends, we do not have fellowship with him. We do not have anything in common with him. If you're not saved, you have nothing in common with the Lord except that he created you with a purpose in mind. And he wanted you to be saved and glorify him. And verse 7, this is the wonderful message. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we're walking in the light, if there's a change in our life, if we're changed from, been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, we're walking in the light. That is, light means transparency. We can see the truth and understand it. My friends, we're walking with the Lord. And that's what he wants. We are saved. We can use all those words. John chapter 3, you must be born again. It means to have a brand new life. When a child is born, that's a brand new life that was never there before. When the Lord speaks about being having a new birth in John chapter 3, he says, you are physically born, yes. But he says, you need a new life. You need a spiritual life. That is, that comes from God. Only God can give you that life. And that life is eternal. And that's God's kind of life. And if you want to get into God's heaven, you must have it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. We just read about that. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, through his work on the cross. That's how you're saved. That's how you come into walking in the light. That's how you come into his goodness. Because now everything is transparency. There's nothing between you and the Lord. You're not trying to hide things. You come with confession. Repent of your sins. That is a changed mind. And you put your faith and trust in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you get into walking in the light. What does it mean, really, to walk in the light? We already mentioned the word fellowship means to have in common. As sinners, men have nothing in common with a holy God. But God, in his grace, sent Christ to have something in common with men. He came as a man, didn't he? Christ took on himself a human body and became man. Then he went to the cross and took on that body the sins of the whole world. We mentioned that this morning in breaking of bread. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because he paid the price for our sins, the way is open for God to forgive us and take us into his family. And that's what the whole chapter 1 is about family, getting into the family, having fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. How do we get in? We must be cleansed by that precious blood. We must come to him. His family, when we trust Christ, we become a partaker of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, you can read about that. The term translated partaker in Peter's epistle is from the same Greek root word that is translated fellowship. In 1 John 1, 3, it speaks about fellowship. We can read that in 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard, John says, declare we unto you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. The moment you are saved, the moment you call out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. I am a sinner. Your Son is a Savior, the only Savior. And I ask for forgiveness. Will you save me? And my friends, the Lord says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. We can have fellowship with the Father, that is God the Father, and God the Son. I asked someone the other day who was a Christian, and they said, well, I don't know. I sometimes doubt my salvation because of the way it happened or whatever. So I don't know if it was right and so on. And there's a lot of people here today who doubt their salvation and so on. They don't have assurance. I said, okay, so when you pray, what is the first words out of your mouth? She says, I say, Father. Do you know what? A non-saved person does not say Father unless you're quoting from the Bible, our Father which art in heaven. When you pray, if you're truly a Christian, first things out of your mouth is say, Father. Father in heaven. You call him your Father. Why? Because you have fellowship with him and with his Son. You did that one day when you had an encounter, a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone in this auditorium, throughout the world must have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, when you ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive you, and then you have a personal relationship with him for the rest of your life. It says he gives you eternal life. Eternal life is forever. You can never be lost. But you must come to that place if you want a place in heaven. So that is to have fellowship with him. We must have fellowship. Let's go on to the second one because time runs out. And may I ask you this morning, are you saved? Are you walking in the light? Light produces life. Do you know that? We need light to produce life and beauty. Sin is darkness. As sinners, men have nothing or women in common with the Holy God. So we see a problem there. How do we get connected? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God's Son. That's why he came into the earth to die for your sins. Why? Because that was, you had a sin penalty against you. You had a death sentence. The wages of sin is death. God, way back in the Garden of Eden, he said to Adam, if you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Did God mean what he said? Yes, he did. And so when he said that, he says that man was born in sin and he needed a Savior. And so God says, I will send them a Savior. Because I love them and I want them to be restored back to me, he says, I will send my Son into the earth. And we found out this morning that his Son is holy, harmless, undefiled. He never sinned, could never sin, but he is the only one who could die for our sins. And he said, I will go and I will die for them because, and if they come to me in repentance and faith, changing their mind, putting their faith in what I did for them, I will forgive them of their sins, and I will restore their fellowship back with a holy God. Have you ever asked the Lord to save you? I thank God I did way back 36 years ago, and I have never regretted one moment. Let's go on to the second one, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. We will stop before 12. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, and it says this, herein is our love made perfect, or God's made love made perfect in us, that we may have boldness or liberty in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You say, so what does that mean? We are in a world that's under sentence. The Lord is going to judge his world. And if you're saved this morning, you cannot come into judgment. Do you know that? Look what Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to who? To those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ this morning? No condemnation. What about those who are not saved? We already read in John chapter 3. This then is the condemnation, that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. That is, you're already condemned. And for 31 years, I was condemned. I was on the pathway. And we think of that Matthew chapter 7, that broad road, and where does it lead? To death, destruction. I was on that broad road until the Lord saved me, and I got on the narrow road that leads to life. Have you ever done that? By accepting Jesus Christ? Maybe you say, well, how in the world can I do that? You know what? We can call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see that an illustration of that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We think of those two thieves, one on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ when he hung on the cross. They were on the cross also, and one of them called out to the Lord. What did he say? Lord, save me. He says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did the Lord say? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What did he do? He called out to the Lord. He realized who he was. He called out to him. And what does it say in Matthew chapter 27? Come unto me. We all know what the word come means. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. This one we're talking about is speaking about being in the world. We are in a world that has under sentence, but his relationship to judgment is ours. Whose? The Lord Jesus Christ. Was he not judged on the cross for you and I? We were speaking about that this morning, 3 hours of judgment, when God judged his Son for my sins and for your sins. 3 hours when he said, I sink in the deep mire. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. We cannot even enter into that scene. God judged his own son, who never sinned, for my sins. I cannot enter into that. I cannot, but I read it in the Word of God, and I believe it, and I thank God for it. Our sins were judged at the cross of Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. So just as the judgment is passed for him and can never happen again, it is also passed for us. So we are beyond the reach of condemnation. If you are saved this morning, you can never be condemned for your sins. You know that? And we should say, praise the Lord. We can never be condemned. What a wonderful thing that we have. But what about those who are not? Still under the sentence, sad to say. It is not our love that is made perfect, although it says that by God's love is made perfect in this sentence, in this verse. We will have boldness to stand before the Lord in that day. Because why? Because perfect love has settled the sin question. Because of God's perfect love, and he has been judged for us, he has settled the sin question once and for all. The Lord Jesus is now in heaven. We have a man in heaven with judgment completely behind him. He came into the world once and suffered the punishment which our sins deserved, but he has finished the work of redemption, and now we'll never have to take up the sin question again, and neither do you or I. Thank the Lord. We're not going to say a whole lot more about that. We're going to go on to the next one in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. We're going to go just put a little few headings on three verses here. In verse 1, we see it says our privilege. And then we see in verse 2 our prospect. And in verse 3, we see our practice. Look what it says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That word manner is a love that we cannot fully understand. It's not like human love. It is agape love. It is far beyond our love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed or has lavished upon you and I who are saved. Because now what? Upon us because that we should be called the children or the sons of God. That is a privilege. That is our privilege. Therefore, the world, that is those who are not saved, knows us not because it knew him not. When you say I'm a Christian to people out there, oh yeah, you're one of those born again things, right? You're one of those Bible thumpers. You're one of those people, hellfire and so on, right? That's what you get because they do not understand anything about the Word of God. But that is why we are to share it with them. That is why, and we're not only to share, but we should live it in our lives so that when someone looks at us, they should be able to see the love of God in us. The love of God. They should be able to see that light in us. A light shines in darkness. And someone should look at us and say, you know what, I wonder, that guy or that girl or that lady or that man, there's something different about them. There's a song that George Yonts, an old bass singer, sings. He says, because of Calvary, I don't go there anymore. He came back to the same place where he used to go, but now he was saved. And everybody's looking at him, well, so, man, how come we don't see you anymore? How come you don't swear anymore? How come you're not drinking beer? How come you're not partying? He says, because of Calvary, I don't do those things anymore. I don't come here anymore. See, the Lord will change you in an instant if you put your faith and trust in him. He will change you, I guarantee you. But you must be sincere. You must have a need and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I am sick and tired of my life. That's what I did. And the Lord will save you. So in verse 2 of this, we see, first of all, in verse 1, we see our privilege. We see in verse 2 our prospect. Look what it says in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, which is already said that in verse 1. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We do not know exactly what it will be like, but it says this. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Does that mean that we are all going to look like Jesus Christ? No. We will be morally like him. We will be changed because, you know what? At the cross, he died for the penalty of our sins. In our lives, as we read and pray, he keeps us from the power of sin. We were speaking about that, walking in the Spirit and so on. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. That is the divine nature that we are partakers of. God is placed within you the moment you are saved, the Holy Spirit. That is one of the members of the Godhead. That is the new life. It says here, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those of us who are saved, we will see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross. He'll have the nail prints in his hands and his feet. And we'll see him as he is, and we'll be forever with him. And we will be morally like him, changed. You will not think the way you're thinking right now. You will not act the way you are right now. Why? Because you're going to be taken out of the presence of sin. No sin. Total holiness. Do you believe that? I believe it. And I can't wait to be with the Lord. And you know what? It could happen today. It could happen today. It speaks about that in Corinthians and Thessalonians. In the twinkling of an eye, the Lord is going to take those who are saved out of this world. And you will never be the same. You say, oh, shoot. I'm going to miss all these thoughts. No, you won't miss those thoughts. Be heavenly thoughts. And the Lord, you'll please him. You know what? The world, on the other hand, will never see him this way. Those who are not saved will not see him that way. Do you know how they're going to see him? As their judge. You're going to see him as a Savior. And you're going to see him just the way he is. His love, his mercy, holiness, and grace. And you'll be with him for all eternity. The world will never see him, but they'll only see him as judge and as a king. But we know him as our man in glory, the first fruits from the dead, the pattern of the kind of people God will have in the glory by and by. This does not mean that we will be physically like the Lord Jesus in heaven. The Lord Jesus will have his own definite appearance, but we will bear the scars. He will bear the scars of Calvary throughout eternity. Each one of us, we believe, will have our own distinct features, and we will be recognizable as such. However, we will be morally like the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be free from the possibility of defilement, sin, sickness, sorrow, and death. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Look what it says. Quickly, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, for our conversation, the word conversation means our citizenship. If you are saved this morning, your citizenship is in heaven. That is your country. That is where you're going to be for all eternity. Right now, you're in a training ground. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say it might be him. It says the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. The word vile means depraved. It means deformed by sin, corrupt bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue or conquer things unto himself. We'll have glorified bodies, not like you have right now. But we will still know each other. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look at Mount Transfiguration. How did Peter, James, and John know Moses and Elijah? And the Lord Jesus. I believe we will know each other distinctly. But we may lose some wrinkles and so on. Maybe have a little more hair. I don't know. But thank the Lord, we will be changed. These vile bodies will be changed. Lastly, in our last one, we'll go down to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. We see, first of all, our privilege. We're called the children of God if you're saved. Our prospect, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In verse 3, it says what? And every man or woman that hath this hope, all those things we just talked about now, with anyone that has those hope, what does hope mean? It means calm assurance. Calm assurance. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That's what should drive us to appreciate the Lord and to worship him. Purifieth himself even as he is pure. If you go to the book of Leviticus, I believe it about 6 or 7 times, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Whoa. That's not easy to do. As Christians, we have to work at it every single day. Let's just give you a couple of verses. pure in thoughts. How is our thought life? Look what it says. Write this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Beautiful little verse. Listen to what it says. Finally, brethren, Paul is a writer, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just or righteous, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any moral excellence, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think. That affects our mind. And today, in our technology and so on, myself included, we are driven to watch all this stuff, aren't we? We are exposed. Remember the prince of the power of the air? He has like a smorgasbord in front of us, a great big table that just has no end to it. And he has all kinds of things on there. And even as Christians, we are tempted. And sometimes we give in. But we need to be thinking about the Lord. You know what? If we're occupied with the things of the Lord, we cannot be occupied with a whole lot of other things, can we? Yes, we live in this world, but we need to be those who are disciplined, those who give the Lord lots of time. Look at Psalm 139, 23, and verse 24. The writer there says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting." We need his leading. We need to be followers. We need to be in the Word of God. You say, oh, I hear that so many times. My friends, man, it says, man or woman shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is this called? I say to the seniors, I say, well, it's called the Bible. I say, what else is it called? It's called the Word of God. Now, if you want to hear from God, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what? I eat quite a few times a day. And I get into trouble eating a whole lot of sweets just a couple of weeks ago. But you know what? We also need to feed our bodies something that is pure, something that is right, and that is the Word of God. Are we doing that? Even once a day? Read the Word of God, meditate on it, and spend some time. Look at verse Ephesians 4:29. I'll close with this. Pure in words. Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, lifting up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." We need to watch what's going into this mind. Remember the Lord says, "My son, give me thine heart." We said our heart, what belongs to our heart is our minds, our wills, and our feelings towards God. And God says, "Give me those." He said, "If you'll follow me, I will truly lead you." That's why we can say in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's close in a word of prayer. We pray the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts even this morning. Father in heaven, we bow in your Son's lovely name. And we thank you for these scriptures, Father, as they would say, as he is. Father, we just pray that each one of us would be those who are in partnership with him, have fellowship with the Lord. We are those, Father, who are saved in this world, our pilgrimage down here, that we would walk holy lives. We thank you, Father, for our prospect that we shall be with him for all eternity, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Father, help us. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, that our practice as Christians, we would walk a holy life. We thank thee, Father, for the Word of God. We thank thee for other Christians. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, most of all, the one who died for us on Calvary's cross. Pardon us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in your Son's holy and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.